in the midst of our series, A New Hope, and we are talking about being able to keep our eyes on the vision that Jesus laid out. And today is Pentecost Sunday, and it is the day that churches around the world, we celebrate the day of Pentecost, the day in which is 50 days after Jesus was crucified on the cross. It was 50 days later, 40 days Jesus walked the earth after his resurrection, and he appeared to many. And then he ascended into heaven, and he told the disciples to go into Jerusalem and wait. And they went to the upper room, and they waited for 10 more days in the upper room, which makes 50th day, which is where we get the word Pentecost from. On the 50th day, the Holy Spirit came and filled that place. And as we all know, if we've read in the book of Acts, and especially in chapter 1, where Jesus gave them the charge to go and to wait. And it says that they were there in the upper room, and they were praying, and they were essentially, the word prayer there is not just prayer only, but it talks about, it's worship. It's also the word used for worship. So they were worshiping God in prayer, and probably in all the ways that the Word of God teaches us to worship God. And so there was a worship-filled and a prayer-filled atmosphere where the people were on one accord, the Word of God tells us. And in order to accomplish anything effectively in the kingdom of God, the people of God must be on one accord. It doesn't matter what you're trying to do, everyone has to be on one accord. Everyone has to be of the same mindset, the Bible says. Our focus and our direction, the vision has to be the same so that we can accomplish what it is that God has called us to do. And that's important because when it's time to make decisions, sometimes you don't have everything you need. So you need to understand, what are we all about? What are we looking to accomplish? What is the purpose in what we're doing? And understanding that principle, that everyone is thinking and understanding the same thing, helps us to come to a right conclusion in our decision-making process. And without being on one accord, you'll have a multiplicity of ways and ideas and thoughts, and you'll have chaos and confusion because there are just too many different ways of doing something or ideas about something. But when you have a vision and a purpose and you're able to understand what it is that we as a body are trying to accomplish, then we can accomplish great things. And that's important, and it transitions even into the different ministries of the church. Each ministry in the church has to have a vision and a purpose. Just like the vision and the purpose of the foot is not the same as the hand. Is that right? That's right. But the vision of the body incorporates everybody. Everybody has to be in agreement with what the body is saying and what the brain says to do. If the brain says, we're going over there across the room, then everybody has to be in agreement. Is that right? Especially the feet. And as long as everybody's in agreement, you can get across the room. But if you have a foot or a hand or a leg that says, I don't want to, then there's going to be some bizarre motions taking place as the attempt is being made. And so God understood that principle, and so being on one accord was required for the move of the Holy Spirit to come. And that's what ignited the church. That is the thing that keeps the wind of God blowing, the Spirit of God moving. That's why we say experience the wind. Experience the presence of God, the move of God, by being on one accord, of one mind, and one purpose, allowing the Spirit of the Lord to take us where he wants us to go. And that's what every church member ought to have in mind as we involve ourselves and as we participate in the very works of God. It's not my will, but thy will be done, is what the Word of God says. And so as we are experiencing God in the various ways, and we keep our eyes on what it is that Jesus has called us to do, to become the living Word of God, then we will be able to see Him in powerful ways, the way He would move and operate in our lives as never before. And that's what's so exciting about the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's watch this video together. That God would fill you with His Holy Spirit and give you the power and the vision and the ability to carry out His will, so that the will of God can be accomplished in our lives. And so we know that there is warfare in the midst of the people of God. Whenever you go to do good, the Bible says evil is always present. Whenever we go to do good, evil is always present. And as the people of God, we must be conscious of the warfare that we face. We cannot go through life as if everything is just going to go our way the way we want it to go. There will always be opposition to good by evil. And that is just the sheer nature of our human lives. And that is because of the fall that took place in the garden. And so we have to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And if we attempt to operate in a carnal manner, then we will fail. And we will not be able to accomplish the will and the purposes of God. We will find ourselves operating and carrying out things in the way that would be actually contrary to the will of God, because we're operating in the flesh. And God has called us to be a people who understand the principles of God and are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And so we have to be sure that we are understanding all of these things that God gives us in His Word, so that we can have hope. We can have hope. The reason we have hope is because we know the power of God.
Yes.
When you know the power of God, you can have hope.
Hallelujah.
When all you can see are the problems, then you will be disillusioned. You will be thrown off, and you will feel as if there is no way out. And so you will want to pack up and run. You will want to hide. You will want to withdraw. And that's because you see the problem in relations to your own ability to deal with it, and not in relations to the power of God. And when God is operating in the midst of our lives, He imparts His strength. There is a reason you need the Holy Spirit in your life. There is a reason you need the power of God. There is a reason. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to be saved. God would just say, get a good education and learn the things of God and just do the best you can. Go to it, my friend. But that's not the gospel. The gospel declares and requires the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You need the power of God in your life. It is the very thing that enables you to hold on to the vision, the very hope of God. And that's why Jesus, he said to the disciples, we're going to the other side. That was a picture of us going and making it to heaven. That is a parallel of Jesus saying, the very thing that I have come to do and to accomplish, we're going to get it done. We're going to see it through. And that which I have promised you, it will come to pass. I love the little pamphlet of the scriptures that our brother Lito gave out to the men at the men's breakfast. He did a phenomenal job, fantastic job presenting the testimony of the promises of God. And talking about the promises of God. And those are the very things that God gives us so that we can have a hope. If you don't understand and grab hold to the promises of God, you will only see the problems. You will only see things going wrong. You will see what Satan highlights in your life. Because Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And when you see him accusing, and when you see him highlighting issues and problems and things that cause them to blow up, to make them bigger than they really are, that's what he wants to do. He always makes things look bigger than they are. He's the great and powerful Oz. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. There he is with his big puffs of smoke and his fire raging. Rah, rah! And God says, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. He says, don't get caught up and ensnared by the trickery that the enemy tries to present. But he says, be wise unto salvation. Be wise unto salvation, knowing that God is able to do abundantly more than we could ask or imagine. And if we keep our eyes and our focus on what God is looking to accomplish, then we will have victory. In Hebrews 6:11 and 12, it says, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. Hallelujah. The full assurance of hope until the end. You have to realize it. In other words, you have to make it come to pass. You have to bring it to reality. And he goes on, and he says, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Hallelujah. Those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And saints of God, we want to be a people who inherit the promises. We want to make it to the other side. We want to see that God will enable us to inherit the promises. Because if we don't inherit the promises, we lose out. Isn't that right? And so God has called us to follow the model and the example that he has given us in his word through Christ. Jesus Christ is the living word. He's the word made flesh. He is our first example. Jesus has called us to replicate his earthly lifestyle and his ways so that as we are living our lives, we also are a reflection of the word of God being lived out. Jesus is the word made flesh. He's the living word. And even as the Father sent him, so he sends us. We are sent as the living word. And so it is most important for us when we step out of these doors to go out into the community, into the ways, the highways and the byways and the places where we go to live and serve and operate. And we heard testimonies here today of opportunities. We have to make sure we don't miss them. We don't miss opportunities to be the living word in someone's life. We must be a reflection of Christ and his word. We must be able to be the example that others can follow by allowing our lives to line up with the Word of God. If our lifestyle and our ways do not align with the Word of God, then we are not followers of Christ. Followers of Christ actually look like the Word of God says we ought to look. And the world is watching. They are looking for the people who are filled with love to overflowing, to people who have compassion, people who have patience, kindness, and gentleness, people who have the ability to endure long suffering. Where are these people? Where are these people? Because that is what Christ did. That is a picture of who Jesus is. This is what we as the people of God are called to do. We're called to be faithful. We're called to live our lives in behalf of others and not just ourselves. In John 1:14, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Saints of God, this is what our lives ought to look like. This is talking about Jesus, and we know that this is a picture of John the Baptist when he was talking about who Jesus was and describing Jesus, but this is also a picture of who we are to become as we walk with God, as we live our lives in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Jesus was a man filled with the Spirit. He was 100% or fully God, and he was fully man. And what made him God was the Spirit that indwelled him. He was fully encompassed by the Spirit of God. And so he not only could identify with humanity, but he also had the mind of God. He was God himself, God in human flesh. And this is what we have been given. On Pentecost Sunday, we have the power of the Holy Spirit imparted to us. We are filled with the Spirit of God. And we now have the power, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, now indwells within us. Hallelujah. Is there anything you cannot do? Is there anything you cannot accomplish? Knowing that the same power that indwells you, that indwells, is the same that indwelled Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh, that ought to give you hope today. Because you ought to know that your ability to do whatever it is you put your heart and mind to do is not coming from you, but you're drawing from the strength of God, the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you. He ignites within you, and he gives you strength. So when the enemy rises up against you, the Word of God comes to mind. And you remember what the Word of the Lord says. And this is why the Word of God tells us, he says that we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Because if your mind does not get renewed, you're going to think like the world. You're going to think carnal thoughts. You're going to begin to operate according to the flesh. And then you're going to start to feel funny. Because your feelings follow the thoughts of your mind. And so every time someone says they feel funny about something, you know that that means they're thinking something funny first. And if you stop thinking funny things, you'll stop feeling funny things. And that's what God is trying to ignite in our lives. He's trying to renew our minds so that the way we feel can be brought under the subjection of the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
And that's why we don't live by our feelings, because feelings are deceptive. Feelings are only relevant to the amount of renewal that has taken place in your mind. And so, if your mind has not been renewed, then you won't have the power to live. You won't have the power to reflect the kingdom of God. In fact, the very opposite will take place in your life, because your mentality will be that of a fallen man. And that mentality is the way of death. It is not the way of life. And so, as we go on, it says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." This is what Paul was instructing the churches. He said, there are those, and began with what Jesus said, he has been an example to us. God has raised up people who can be an example in the body of Christ. And we ought to be very careful who we choose to idolize, who we choose to follow, who we choose to listen to, who we choose to look to for advice and direction. We must make sure that it aligns with the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
No matter who it is. Mm-hmm. because God can use actually anyone. But the principles must align with the Word of God. Everything we hear and we learn, we should not hold on to it unless it aligns with the Word of God. Why? Because if you don't, you will be depressed. If you don't, you will be taken down a road you don't want to go down. If you don't, you will start to feel funny. Simply because your mind is thinking the wrong thoughts. And God has called us to imitate those who have acquired these skills. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's what leadership is really all about in the church. It's all about people who can be an example so that others can look at their lives and look at how they operate and how they do things and follow their lead. Hence the word lead. And the idea is that you are not a perfect person, but you are a person who is able to apply the principles of God's word to your life, to the decision-making process, and in your ways so that you can carry out the work and follow through and accomplish the plans of God.
Hallelujah.
And that is the challenge that we all face. And we need people, the word of God, as we just read, requires us to rally together and find people who can be an example. That's what Paul said, so that you can make it through. Because if you grab hold to the wrong people, you will be destined to fail. You will not make it. You will quit. You will give up. You will fall short. You will be discouraged. You'll find whatever the negative and the evil is, you will gravitate to that very thing. And the very thing that causes people to gravitate to evil is the weakness of the mind not being renewed. And so we have to make sure that our minds are correct so that we can all be on one accord. That's why you've heard that phrase, birds of a feather flock together. And that is absolutely true, that birds of a feather flock together. And so we need people in our lives who can be an example of what it is God is trying to do and trying to accomplish. And we have to make sure that we find the right people to imitate. Because whoever you spend time with, that's who you will become. My father taught me that principle when I was a kid. He said, if you hang around dummies, you'll become a dummy. Put in a way that only my dad could, right? You know, and that is true. Whoever you spend time with, whoever you invest time with, you will become like them. The legal system has a term for it. It's called guilt by association. Isn't that right? Guilt by association. You may not have done it, but you were in cahoots with those who did. Therefore, you are just as guilty. It's the same principle in the kingdom of God. And so, in Romans 15:1-7, it says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength, and not just what? Please ourselves. Please ourselves. You see, pleasing yourself is what happens when you focus on the wrong thing, and then it becomes all about you. All of a sudden, everything becomes about you. Oh, well, my feelings are hurt. Oh, well, I thought this. Well, I think we ought to do that. Oh, how come they didn't do this or that? Well, God is saying, why don't you bear the infirmities of the weak if you see yourself as being so strong? Why aren't you trying to help things become better? Why aren't you a part of the process of helping things to move forward and to take place in a way that brings glory and honor to God? That's what God has called us to do. That would be a godly way. That would be a godly principle of God. He goes on, he says, each of us is to what? Please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. This is why marriages have so many problems. Because two people get married and then it's all about the other one and the one wanting the other one to meet their needs. And that just doesn't work. If you get married so that your spouse can meet your needs, you're in trouble. You're in big trouble. Give you a head start. It ain't gonna happen. You have to get into marriage with the purpose that you are going to meet your spouse's need.
Hallelujah.
not with the expectation that they are going to meet yours, but you're getting into the relationship with the purpose in mind that you are going to be ministering to them. And you are going to help them. You are going to minister and help build this family. You are investing, because the principle of God is the principle of sowing and reaping. You see, it's the one who gives who receives. And if you don't understand that in order to receive, you have to first give, then you will never receive because you don't give. And it's beyond money. It's in every relationship that God has established. And so God has called us to be people who sow, to give. And this is what that is. This is a principle of the principle of sowing and reaping. And God has called us to minister to the needs of our neighbor. If you have a friend, you're only going to stay friends if you meet their needs, if you're investing in them. Because then they will say, wow, this is a good friend. He is really looking out for me. And that person becomes bonded to you. That's how it works. And then that person will then want to serve you. Hallelujah. And the stronger is the one who initiates. The stronger is the one who initiates. The weaker one is the one waiting for something to happen, waiting for someone else to initiate, waiting for something else to begin. But the one who has the strength goes beyond what they see and begins to follow what God says and just begins to sow into the relationship. You're able to see because God gives you revelation. He begins to show you a need so that you can meet it. And all you do is just a little bit of this or a little bit of that. And it doesn't take much. It just takes a little bit of investment, a little bit of good for his edification. That's all it takes. And if you do that, you will see God move in your behalf. And it won't even be about you. You'll be saying, I don't even know what happened. All of a sudden, they just changed. Right? All of a sudden, it's just different. Why? Because you applied a principle that God has established in his word. He says, for even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus came for our redemption, to deliver us, to save us. Jesus didn't come because he needed to show how big and bad of God he was, how cool he was, that he could actually fit into a human body and, you know, live it out. He says, I can show you. I got this. Let me show you how to do it. Be healed, yeah. Get lost, Satan, ha ha. No, God didn't have to do that. He didn't need to prove himself. He was in heaven. He was like this. Well, sure is great up here. Wow, what do you say we make another universe? One way over there. Man, what else can we do? Wow, let's just speak stuff and make it happen. You know, it just doesn't get any cooler than that. So God didn't have to come down here among us to experience really cool stuff and to really make a name for himself or to show himself. You know, he was just already, he just had it like that. He was just awesome. So he came down because we had a need. He came into this world because we needed deliverance. We needed salvation. We were the ones who he wanted. He loved us. It was love that motivated him, and out of that love, he desired to see us follow through and make it to heaven. Hallelujah. Not just to heaven, because heaven is just the place. It's really about having a relationship with God. You see, God desires for all of us to have a relationship with him, to get to know him in the power of the resurrection. Hallelujah. In the strength of God. Not just in weakness and just in, you know, the fact that, oh, well, God, he's an all-powerful God and he did all these great things. Ooh, look at God. Let's worship him. Oh, no, God is saying, no, I want you to experience my love. I want you to know that I care for you. I love you. I created you by hand. Fearfully and wonderfully, every detail. I counted the strands of hairs that went into your head. boom, boom, boom. You know, I decided who was going to have a lot and who was going to have a little. Praise God. Yes. Some people have to work hard at it, and others, it comes naturally. God designed all that. He designed it because of it's all birthed out of love. And anything that you do that is not birthed in love is not of God. If the decision you're making is not out of love, it's not of God. I'll be so bold. I'll take it there. Because God is love. Everything. And if we as human beings could grasp this, we would understand that the idea is not that everything is perfect, not that everything is the way it ought to be, but everything is wrought in the love of God.
Hallelujah.
And out of the love of God, we as the people of God are able to accomplish godly things.
Hallelujah.
You cannot accomplish godly things apart from the love of God.
Hallelujah.
And as the love of God is working, it's shed abroad in our hearts, the Word of God says, that we will be able to do what we do. And when we focus and we find ourselves in the wrong place, it's because love ran out. We didn't have enough love. We didn't have the love that we thought we had. He goes on, he says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have what?
Hope.
Hallelujah. Hope is wrought in the Word of God. We look at the Word of God. We look at the Scriptures. We see it being lived out in the people that God raised up as examples in our lives. And we are able to see that God is able to deliver on His promises. He is able to fulfill the very things He said He would do. He is able to carry us through and cause things to happen that otherwise would not happen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He goes on, now may the God who gives what? Perseverance. Oh, that means it's not coming easy. And encouragement. Why do you need encouragement? Because the road is dark and discouraging. And if you're not able to endure discouragement, you will never endure encouragement. So he says that he will grant you to be of what? The same mind. One accord. One accord. With who?
One another.
According to Christ Jesus. You see, that's why Pentecost in your life is so important. And this is why it's important to have the working of the Spirit of God in your heart and in your mind. If you don't have the Word of God being ignited by the Spirit of God, then you will not have the power of God.
Hallelujah.
To carry out the will of God.
Hallelujah.
And so, that which one accord, with one accord, you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, accept one another. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Accept one another. Just as Christ also accepted us, or accepted you, to the glory of God. To the glory of God. Why? Because as the Spirit of God moves, He brings us all on one accord. There are some who will resist the Spirit of God. They will resist what the Holy Spirit is saying and what the Holy Spirit is doing. And unfortunately, you cannot be on one accord. You cannot be on one accord if you resist the work of the Spirit of God. If you resist the truths of God's Word, you cannot be on one accord. So in order to accomplish anything in the kingdom of God, it requires a move of the Spirit of God. It requires an outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. It requires a divine anointing. It requires the power of God to be accomplished in our lives. And this is why the enemy fights the church. This is why Satan fights the people of God. It's not because he doesn't want you to go to church or because he doesn't want you to love God. He just wants you to be powerless. He just wants you to not have the power you need. It's like buying one of those little cars because you want to save money, right? So you don't get all the fancy options. You don't get everything you need. And you don't really care, because as long as everything's going easy, that little putt-putt thing is doing all right. But if you got to climb a mountain, all of a sudden you go, I wish I had got the upgraded motor. All of a sudden, when you load it up with extra people, you got your family in the car, you're going on vacation, and you got all those other things in the car, and there you go driving along, and you're going down the highway, foot to the floor, car doing 35. And screaming. Oh, then you wish you had spent the extra $20 a month to get the upgraded model. Oh, you wish you had just spent a little bit more. You wish you had invested just a little bit more. And that's how the Christian life is. Oh, when the trials come, when the difficulties come, all of a sudden, I wish I had went to that prayer meeting. Oh, I wish I had spent more time in prayer. Oh, I wish I had sought God more. Oh, I wish I could get somebody to help me. Oh, when my time of need comes, all of a sudden there's no one to help you. There's no one to call who you can reach out to. Why? Because you did not sow. Because you did not invest. Because you did not give of yourself. And now at the time of need, you are powerless. And God says, don't miss out on the opportunities that are coming your way. Avail yourself to the word of God. Allow it to take root in your life and allow the glory of God to be raised up among you so that you can be a godly example to the unbelievers, to people who doubt God, who doubt the power of God. You have all of the resources of heaven. God is looking to bestow himself upon us. He's looking for those. The word of God says he goes to and fro. The Spirit of the Lord is looking for those he can pour himself out on and he can empower, that he can strengthen. God wants to. He says, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Saints of God, God is not trying to punish us or hold us out or trying to make us feel like we're less than what he's created us to be. But God is calling us to align ourselves with his word so that he can pour into us, so that we can be vessels filled with his glory, so that we can be people who, when we go out into the world and the world is being shaken, we will be able to stand steady. When trials and difficulties come, we will be able to maintain the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit of God. That we would be able to know that God is with us, and that we will have the ability to, that we will have the ability to accomplish what God has called us to do so that we could inherit the promises. So that we can inherit the promises of God, so that we can experience all that he's called for us, so that we can follow him in all of our ways. And situations are going to come, circumstances are going to come, and the very purpose will be to challenge you, because Satan wants to bring down. But God says, be of good courage. And he says, be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. He has overcome every evil thing. Know that God, he is with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. But he is with us always, even to the end of the age. And saints of God, align yourselves with the word of God, with people who represent the truths of God's word, so that you can carry out the will of God in the power of the Spirit of God, knowing that he is your source of strength and power, knowing that he is your source of hope, so that no matter how bad things look, you can see that Christ said, let us go to the other side. That Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So saints of God, inherit his promises, and you will be able to accomplish all that he has intended for you in your life. in the name of Jesus, you will be victorious in all that God is bringing you through. Amen?
Amen. Amen.